I'm Jesse DeGroot, the marketing representative for the Mack Hayden Theater in Chatham, New York, and you're in tune to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
All together now, the 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday newscast for Greene and Columbia counties is looking for contributors. If you have an idea for a regular or irregular segment, or if you want to interview the public at a local event or write stories for the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org, send an email to info@WGXC.org. All together now.
Desmarchand, a proud supporter of WGXC, is a men's and women's boutique featuring creative and classic clothing, shoes, and accessories. Now presenting our fall collections from European and American designers, Desmarchand.com, Desmarchind.com, on Warren Street in Hudson, New York.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar. If you have a press release for All Together Now, send it to news@WGXC.org.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You're listening to All Together Now, daily news hour for the Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. Tonight on All Together Now, we'll hear an excerpt from a conversation with Liz Kirkus, Membership Director and Events Coordinator for the Greene County Chamber of Commerce. She'll be talking about upcoming events, plus local and regional news, weather updates, feature segments, and more on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network. On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Accra, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News for Wednesday, June 6, 2018. I'm Philip Graham. At the top of the news, Carly Miller is reporting for Columbia Greene Media. The town of Hunter is preparing for two upcoming annual music festivals this month. Police and ambulance staff spend months preparing for the Taste of Country and Mountain Jam festivals that draw thousands of tourists to the mountain every June. Taste of Country will kick off June 8th and run through the 10th at Hunter Mountain. The Taste of Country lineup this year includes headliners Eric Church, Leanne Rimes, Florida Georgia Line, and Sam Hunt. That festival is followed by Mountain Jam over Father's Day weekend, June the 15th to 17th, Daniel Kinney, Hunter Mountain Communications Manager, said this year security checks will be stricter for attendees. with restrictions on bag sizes and multiple pockets. Lieutenant Adam Brainard with the Greene County Sheriff's Office said law enforcement mainly responds to fights and minor offenses, but officers prepare for larger incidences. Brainard said, and I quote, "There are a couple of people who have voiced concerns over traffic and noise issues, but since this is a long-running pair of events, we have a lot of the kinks worked out," end quote. The Mountain operates a first aid center, and ambulances provide hospital transportation for injuries during drug incidents and other hospital needs. The town of Hunter supplies 24-hour ambulance service and staff for both festivals, contracting with the town of Catskill and Windham. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. David Kelper is reporting for the Associated Press. Governor Andrew Cuomo is proposing that teachers and school administrators be able to ask kids to remove guns from the homes of troubled students under a first-of-its-kind proposal announced June 5th. Cuomo called the measure a common-sense way to prevent school shootings and get help to students at risk of harming themselves or others. He said the idea was a far more effective way of protecting students than arming teachers. He said, and I quote, "This is a sensible, positive, helpful alternative. Many times teachers know this is an issue," end quote. The proposed legislation would give teachers and school administrators legal standing to petition a court to remove firearms from the homes of students considered a threat to themselves or others. Teachers' unions are backing the proposal. State Senate Republicans did not weigh in on the bill following Cuomo's announcements. The Republicans have advanced their own legislation that would increase funding for armed security officers. And you can read that full story in the Times Union. Amelia Teasdale is reporting for the Columbia paper. The Chatham Children's Garden Program in Crenlin Park finds itself in jeopardy due to a lack of funding. The Chatham Children's Garden offers summer programs to children at low cost on a sliding scale. Program Director Kate Denny said she cannot run the morning gardening program during the Crenlin Park summer camp program without the funds to cover the cost of insurance and labor. She is also looking into grants and other funding to keep the morning program going. The Children's Garden program is separate from the town's summer camp. Campers who use the garden program pay for it separately from camp tuition. Children not at camp can also attend the garden program, which takes place in the morning during the six-week town camp program. Last year, 50 children participated. As of June 6, Denny has raised less than half of her $10,000 goal, one day after her self-imposed June 5th deadline. And you can read that full story in the Columbia paper. And for our final story, Larry Rillison is reporting from the Times Union. The State Labor Department found multiple violations of state child labor laws at the Common Sense Farm in Washington County after visiting the 12 Tribes Commune June 4th following an expose by the television show Inside Edition. The potential violations involved 12 minors, and fines from the cases could reach tens of thousands of dollars. Inside Edition ran its report June 1st, using hidden camera video to show underage children working at the 12 Tribes Cosmetics Packing Factory in Cambridge. According to an Associated Press story, state officials are expanding the probe to 8 other sites affiliated with the group. One of the sites is in Cooksackie. 12 Tribes is a Christian religious sect that operates Common Sense Farm. Common Sense Farm packages cosmetic products like Acure and Savannah Bee that are sold by retailers like Whole Foods, Amazon, Target, and Walmart. The group has come under suspicion for child labor violations in the past and is best known for its chain of cafes called Yellow Deli that have locations in places like Oak Hill and Oneata. 12 Tribes did not respond to requests for comment. And you can read that full story in the Times Union. Today is day one of the WGXC Spring 2018 Radio Everywhere Pledge Drive. During the coming days, WGXC programmers, volunteers, and staff must raise $25,000 to keep WGXC hands-on radio on the air, live, and local during the coming months. Your support will make all the difference. Call 518-697-7400 or go online to donate. And thank you for supporting creative community radio in New York's Greene and Columbia counties. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News for today, Wednesday, the 6th day of June 2018. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow. Here is the regional weather forecast for the Hudson Valley and Capital Region. Here is the late afternoon weather report. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting patchy fog after 2 a.m. tonight. Otherwise, it will be partly cloudy with a temperature low around 49 degrees. There will be a west wind at around 5 miles an hour, becoming calm in the evening. Isolated showers after 2 p.m. are predicted for Thursday. There will be patchy fog before 8 a.m. Otherwise, Thursday will be partly sunny with a high near 74 degrees. Thursday night will be partly cloudy with a low around 56 degrees. Friday will be mostly sunny with a high near 78 degrees. And Friday night, partly cloudy with a low around 56. This has been the WGXC Late Afternoon Weather Report. Next, we have these reports.
Thanks, 10-4.
You're listening to radio news about radio waves. Headlines from the ether. Headlines.
Ars Technica reports that President Donald Trump did follow normal tradition and nominated FCC Assistant Enforcement Bureau Chief Jeffrey Starks to fill the open seat on the Federal Communications Commission. The president usually appoints his own party's nominees for the Federal Communications Commission's board and accepts and approves recommendations from the opposing party for their nominees. Starks would replace Mignon Clyburn, a Democrat who recently retired. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer from New York recommended Starks. At the FCC in the Enforcement Division, Starks worked on, quote, waste, fraud, and abuse in Universal Service Fund programs, unquote, according to Politico. Republicans with the GOP in the White House maintain a 3-2 majority on the FCC board. Tom Rowe reporting for Wavefarm Standing Wave Radio and WGXC.
Black history is happening every day. It's time to start thinking of it outside of a day or a week or a month. We hope to inspire you by enlightening you with those people and events that should be learned from and forever remembered.
Today is June 6th. And on this day, in 1994, Stevie Wonder performed at the Duke Ellington School for the Arts in Washington, D.C. Steve Lynn Hardaway Morris, better known as Stevie Wonder, has sold over 100 million records worldwide, making him one of the top 60 best-selling artists of all time.
Achievements and events are not confined to the past. Make sure to etch your own path in the pantheon of human history. This has been Black History Month 365. Bam! 365, where you find every day Black history is made.
Lucy Lion, the King of Beasts.
Music from elsewhere and beyond.
Huge elephant trumpet across the plains.
Imaginary soundtracks to unmade foreign films.
And there are rhino, those craggy creatures surviving from a bygone age.
Snack Point Charlie. Hosted by Jeff Economy. Every first Wednesday from 9:30 to midnight on WGXC 90.7 FM, WGXC.org.
WGXC Record Fair 2018 is coming back Sunday, September 16th at the Basilica Hudson. Vendors from across the Northeast will gather at Basilica's main hall to sell vinyl, CDs, cassette tapes, DVDs, books, musical equipment and instruments, and radio-related ephemera. If you want to get in-
The thing in complete
unity with each other, harmony with each other, and not letting the man maneuver us into fighting one another. As long as we practice brotherhood among ourselves, and then others who want to practice brotherhood with us, we're for that. But I don't think that we should run around trying to love somebody who doesn't love us.
Get it? Take a look into the sky and see it scraping the buildings. Or look into the mirror, see the face of resilience. My heart and frustration is in it. When I spit it, it's vintage. Soul molded into my own image. Yeah.
On the June 5th broadcast of the WGXC Morning Show, Pete Levensey spoke with Liz Kirkus, Membership Director and Events Coordinator at the Greene County Chamber of Commerce.
We are back here at WGXC, and I am happy to have in the Catskill studio Liz Kirkus, who is Membership Director and Events Coordinator of the Greene County Chamber of Commerce. And she comes in every month and discusses the upcoming activities and local businesses. Liz, hello, good morning to you.
Good morning, everyone. Woohoo! Yes, on this lovely morning. Yes, actually, I have to say, I'm not a huge fan of rain, but if the rain could wash away this pollen, I would be the rain's best friend.
My allergies
have been killing me.
They're kicking you?
Kicking like karate.
You know what? I don't know if I've ever heard that saying before. Kicking like karate.
So, yes. All sorts of stuff going on. So, you want me to jump right in?
Well, first of all, why don't you tell the people about yourself? I mentioned a little bit, but you come in here every month and tell us about yourself. So
I've been at the Chamber for a couple of years now as the Membership Director and Events Coordinator. And before that, I had a shop on Main Street. And I've been up in this area proper since 2007 and absolutely love it. But I'm very excited to be able to be part of an organization that's helping businesses grow and businesses, you know, thrive in this area in Greene County. So it's all sorts of exciting.
Yes. You do have many things to tell us here. We have a lot of, and I mentioned at the beginning of the show, there's so much going on in Greene and Columbia counties, but specifically for Greene County, I love having you in here because you get pretty detailed and give us the events. And
I can definitely give you, what I'll do is I usually start with the chamber events, but then I want to talk about some other things that are just making me happy in general. You said, you and I are pretty much on the same page with just the cool stuff that's happening all around. So I do want to mention that this Thursday, June 7th, is our 18th annual recognition gala for the chamber, and we're having it up at the Wyndham Mountain Resort. And it's from 5:30 till 8 o'clock. And I am happy to report that we have a very good Catskill representation up there, because three of our honorees are Catskill. So we have our our Businesswoman of the Year is Natasha Wicca from the New York Restaurant.
Nice. Oh, that is such a nice place, too. And that's such a great additive here in Catskill.
Yeah, so we're very pleased that she is the Businesswoman of the Year. And our Businessman of the Year is Rick Rasmussen, who is from Hotel Vienna up the mountain. So we have some good representation from up there as well.
We've talked about the hotel before.
Yep. And Small Business of the Year, Story Farm, our very own Story Farm out here.
Cool.
So, which I thought was cool. And then we'll get into, I do want to touch on some farming stuff when we're done. I think you'll appreciate. Large Business of the Year, State Telephone. And Nonprofit of the Year, Thomas Cole National Historic Site, here, which is great. And our Distinguished Service Award is going to Pete Lopez, who is our former New York State Assemblyman.
Right.
Which is great. And he is a huge supporter of small business in this area. So I'm really happy with who the honorees are this year, probably because personally, obviously, I know Natasha and huge fan of the New York restaurant. The Thomas Cole National Historic Site is so, you know, amazing for this area and brings so much tourism to Greene County and the actually surrounding counties as well.
Yeah, I just last week I just had Sylvia on, and she was discussing the Thomas Cole letters, and
she's
been working on that a lot. So it's a
huge piece of history that we have right here, you know, with the Hudson River School. And so I'm just so pleased that we have such a nice representation this year. And, you know, and Story Farm, which, you know, I am not going to quote anything, but I did see that there's, you know, there's all this discussion again about, you know, kind of farms getting some money and some grants to keep going. And I think that, you know, all of us in this room can attest to the fact that we love being in this area because of our farms and our farm stands and our accessibility to fresh food. And, you know, it's just amazing how I feel like, you know, it comes in waves. It's like, I just remember, what was it? John Mellencamp had his, was it Farm Aid or something years ago? He had all that concerts here. So I feel like attention was brought to local farms. And then it kind of went to the wayside. And I feel like right now attention is being brought to them again, you know, saying that we can't lose these farms, that we have to be very conscious of what's going on, not only in this area, but around the country, of these small farmers who are really, you know, trying to make it happen and trying to keep stuff local and, you know, keep growing and stuff. So I'm, you know, and Story Farm, you know, I should know this, but they've been there a long time. This is like, you know, generations of families who have been running that farm. And I'm so happy that they're in our area and that they've been here for this long.
Well, to go with that, I had mentioned previously about the Catskill Farmers Market. Which starts this Friday, June 8th from 4 to 7 at the Dutchman's Landing, which is another great thing. I mean, to get the local farmers in here and the quality of the food. And I believe they even have like honey and candles and all kinds of goodies that they've
That's a great thing to bring up, Pete. So the community center has been running the Catskill Farmers Market for the last few years. And as you mentioned, it's going to be down at Dutchman's Landing in Catskill. And they do. They are, you know, it's really showcasing a lot of our local farmers. And they have everything from, you know, fruits to veggies, to cheese, to honey, to, you know, it's really
and
just sort of.
And I'm sorry to cut in front of you.
Go right ahead.
You mentioned fruits and vegetables, farmers markets fruits and vegetables are so much more tastier.
Oh, my goodness.
Than if you go to, say, the other big corporate store. It is.
We did a little thing a bunch of years ago where we had bought, you know, a tomato from a supermarket, and then we bought tomatoes from the farmer's market. And we, like, I probably still have a picture somewhere. So the one from the supermarket was like three times the size the one from the farmer's market.
Right.
But when you cut into it, just the look of it in general, the one from the supermarket was kind of like a pale red, whereas the one from the farmer's market was this beautiful red. I mean, again, just so flavorful. And so, and it's just, if you haven't experienced it, you really have to do like the comparison test, you know, even like a cucumber from a farmer's market.
It's true.
Completely different. So, you know, and again, it's just, you know, quality over, you know, quantity. And
so it's a good reason to go to the Catskills Farmers Market this Friday. It starts on June 8th from 4 to 7.
From 4 to 7, yes.
And down at the end of Main Street.
Goes till September, I believe.
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, we can talk more about that maybe next time. But yes, it is starting. But good point. It is starting this Friday right here in Catskill. And I know the Coxsackie Farmers Market has started already. They've had a couple of dates. So that's on Wednesdays. And that's down by their waterfront park. And I believe that's also 4 to 7. That's another great market to go to. So, support your local farmers. Eat local, everybody.
Yes.
So that's good. But, so as I mentioned, our gala is this Thursday. And then our next event coming up for the Chamber will be a business after hours on Thursday the 21st from 5 to 7. And we're actually having this, I think I mentioned it last time, we're having it on Main Street in Catskill, and it's being hosted by Cultivate Catskill. Which is a great organization that's really, been able to help this area, you know, help Catskill sort of, you know, add some nice pocket parks. You know, they've redone all the pots on Main Street, hanging baskets, just really sort of beautified the area. So they're going to host the business after hours on Thursday, the 21st. And they're using the location of the Bank of Greene County right in the middle of Main Street as sort of a headquarter point, because we don't know weather-wise. If weather permitting, we're going to do kind of a little scavenger hunt around the pocket parks. But if it happens to be raining, we're going to use that building as a base. So that's on Thursday, the 21st. And our next Women in Business event is coming up in July. And it's a luncheon, which we usually do in the summer instead of a dinner. And it's going to be down at Frank Guido's Portacol, which I do want to mention. I'm sure many of our listeners heard about. They had a kitchen fire on the Friday of Memorial Day weekend.
That's right. I didn't make it down there, but was there a lot of damage?
So I haven't personally seen it, but the reports I got was it was a kitchen fire. Might have started in the cooler, and the full kitchen is not up and running, but last weekend he was able to open with a limited menu, his raw bar. He did a nice buffet for everybody and had music and stuff. So it was kind of like, you know, Frank's a trooper. Frank, that building took on, what, two hurricanes, Hurricane Irene, Hurricane Sandy.
Yeah,
this is like the third installment of the Frank trying to get, you know, back on his feet again.
And Duracell battery.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I give him a lot of credit. But, yeah, I had shared on our Facebook page, on the Greene County Chamber of Commerce Facebook page, he had posted a video last week of somebody had interviewed him, and he was just saying how they're going to rebuild, they're going to work on it, but, you know, please come on down and support. So so we're actually very happy to be having and we have been the last couple of years had our summer Women in Business event at Port of Call. So that will be on Wednesday, July 18th. And our guest speaker is TBA at this point, but I will let you know shortly. And then the next business after hours will be at the DeWitt in Oak Hill, which is a nice bed and breakfast in Oak Hill. So the ladies will be putting on our next business hour after hours there on Thursday, the 26th from 5 to 7. And Pete, it's time for your favorite topic.
Yes. The one that I'm still trying to work on, and hopefully I'll be able to attend.
Can anybody really guess what Pete's favorite topic is? China. So, hey, if you haven't heard already, the Greene County Chamber of Commerce, along with the Columbia County Chamber of Commerce, is we've got an adventure to China coming up in October. So October 7th through the 15th. It's a 9-day package.
9 days.
9-day package going to China, going to, you know, making four stops. There's the price, which if you go to our website, all the information is there, but it is a inclusive, you know, round trip. There's a shuttle that goes from here to the airport, round trip airfare, you know, hotel, three meals a day, bus tours, you know, entrance to parks. Everything is covered. Literally, if you went over and you know, minus your little souvenirs or anything you'd want to buy, everything is taken care of. Everything is scheduled out. It's, you know, the company that runs this trip does it all the time. They're so well organized, and we are very, very pleased to be offering this.
A bus right from here. You can hop on a bus,
yep.
Right? And then also
shuttle to the airport, yeah.
Right, and then also the fact that, you know, you're going to be a stranger in a new land for pretty much everybody, I would imagine. But you'll have local people with you.
Yeah, which is nice.
Which is added benefit to have people that
absolutely.
You have something in common with.
Right. So, and good point, Pete. So the group tour thing definitely works to your advantage when you're going somewhere, you know, to a foreign land, shall we say. So you have a nice group, you know, from this side of the river and the other side of the river that are going to be going with you. But yeah, so... yeah, we are taking reservations. We have quite a number of people who've signed up, and I believe the final payment is due in mid-July, so there is still some time to sign up. But if you go to our website, greencountychamber.com, or you want to give us a call at the office, 518-943-4222, we would love to tell you more about it, get you signed up. But yeah, I, you know, get some friends together or come by yourself. There's plenty of people going, make some new friends, enjoy all the things that China has to offer. But yeah, it's a really good deal. And when you see, what the package is for the 9 days, you'll be absolutely amazed. I don't even think you could get airfare for that amount of money. Right. It's like, seriously.
Right.
Yeah,
I totally agree. That's why I'm so hyped on it.
I know. We at this point, we want to start a fund to send Pete to China. Because
Fun Pete.
Yeah, because then he'll report back and it'll be like so much fun.
WGXC needs you. Can you be entertaining and engaging while being informative?
Muégale Stephanie. Je m'appelle Stephanie. My name is Stephanie.
Muégale Stephanie. Muégale Radio. WGS C90.7 FM Eka.
Hello, I'm Rob Saffer, host of Overlooked, airing the fourth Thursday of each month from 7 to 9:30 p.m. on 90.7 FM, WGXC, Accra. We'll listen to Overlooked and underheard jazz and improvised music from its earliest years to what's happening right now.
This is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grand. The Mid-Hudson News Network reports that Sean Patrick Maloney is running both to retain his 18th district seat in Congress and also for New York State Attorney General. If Maloney wins the Democratic primary in September, he will try to move to Albany in the general election. If he loses the primary, he will run to keep his seat in Washington. Got it? Maloney joins Letitia James, the New York City public advocate, Sefer Tishout, a law professor who previously ran for governor, and Lysia Eve, a former advisor to Hillary Clinton and Governor Andrew Cuomo, on the September Democratic primary ballot. The Democratic Party backed James at the convention, so most likely Maloney will be defending his seat from a weaker position in November. Maul Gorman, communications director for the National Republican Congressional Committee, said, and I quote, "Everyone knew Sean Patrick Maloney was using his seat in Congress as a stepping stone to higher office. Now he's handing Republicans yet another top pick opportunity with strong candidates already in the race." And you can read that full story in the Mid-Hudson News Network. Rachel Silverstein and David Lombardo are reporting for the Albany Times Union that there has been plenty of drama and dysfunction in the state Senate in Albany this week. In early May, Long Island Republican Tom Croce was called away to active military duty, and the Senate has been in a 31-31 deadlock ever since. Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul has been called to helm the chamber, but the rules about the powers of the lieutenant governor are unclear. Senate Majority Leader John Flanagan said, and I quote, "I think it's clear when the lieutenant governor is here, things go awry," end quote. So citizens get shenanigans, such as state Republicans canceling all planned floor votes after Democrats tried to vote for a bill they did not like. Republican State Senator John DeFrancisco said, and I quote, "The real issue here is, do the Democrats want to make a political point so much that they would avoid having many of their local bills voted on? We'll see," end quote. And you can read that full story in the Albany Times Union. Joseph Spector reports for the Democrat and Chronicle that while Governor Andrew Cuomo has crowed about the state spending $200 million a year to fight opioid addiction, New York has actually just been shifting money around.
John Coppola, executive director of the Alcoholism and Substance Abuse Providers of New York State, said, and I quote, "There is no infusion of $200 million in new dollars. Most of the dollars were already there, already being utilized by prevention and treatment programs, but now their emphasis shifted to address the opioid epidemic," end quote. While the state claims its spending on heroin and opioid treatment has doubled since 2011, that is mostly because of redirected funding from other treatment programs. The report says, and I quote, "The budget for the agency overseeing the programs grew just 1% between 2012 and 2018, end quote. Opioid deaths in New York jumped 135% from 2013 to 2016, with 3,800 opioid deaths in 2016. And you can read that full story in the Democrat Chronicle. Finally, Roger Hanson Gilson reports for the Other Hudson Valley that a super PAC supporting one of the Democrats in the congressional primary is going negative on another Democrat. A political action committee representing Pat Ryan, called With Honor, Inc., has hired a company to call voters and test negative information about Antonio Delgado. Ryan's PAC is paying Global Strategies Group, LLC, $17,500 for the polling, according to the FEC filing. Kalamata Research is doing the polls for Global Strategies. So far, the seven candidates who want to challenge Representative John Faso have only been attacking the Republican. Tara Schaefer, a Rhinebeck resident, said she received a call on her landline from the push poll. The pollster called Ryan, and I quote, "a decorated war hero," end quote, and I quote, "the son of a school teacher," end quote. "And it," she said, and I quote, "shows me someone is purposefully propping up Pat Ryan and purposefully slandering Antonio Delgado," end quote. The Delgado campaign said the calls were spreading untruths. According to Delgado spokesman Brendan Welch, and I quote, "Delgado was not a lobbyist and has never been a lobbyist," end quote. Don Levy, the director of the Siena College Research Institute, said, and I quote, "It is a type of push poll that is relatively insidious because it masquerades as an objective poll," end quote. And you can read the full story in the Other Hudson Valley. This has been the WGXC News Update. Other news, weather, and information can be found on the WGXC Newsroom website, WGXC.org.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load.
When you're tired of your toys and of your games and of the television, when you're done with chores and homework, then it's time to make a big decision. You might need a change of scenery. It might be time to go over mountains, over oceans, through dark jungles down below. On an airplane, on a railroad, on a tall ship with the tide, all you need's a little music. How's about it? What do you say we buckle up and go for a little ride?
Let's go everywhere, man. Let's go everywhere, man.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man.
Toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, man, with me you can ride. So I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, "Listen, bud, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man, I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man, I breathe the mountain air, man. I've traveled, I've had my share, man, I've been everywhere.
I wander everywhere.
I've been to
Ica,
Copic,
Cairo,
Catskill, Greenport, Claverack, Kinderhook,
Maryville,
Germantown,
Windham, Greenville,
Schoharie,
Green County,
Patrick, Ashland,
Chatham,
and East Durham,
Athens,
Haines Falls, Hunter,
Coxsackie,
Preston Hollow, Oak Hill,
Ankrum,
Great Barrington,
Hawthorne Valley,
New Baltimore, and
Hudson, New York.
I breathe the mountain air, man. Trouble I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
Ica,
Copic,
Cairo,
Catskill, Greenport, Claverack, Kinderhook,
Maryville,
Germantown,
Wyndham, Greenville,
Schoharie,
Green County,
Bradford, Ashland,
Chatham,
and East Durham,
Athens,
Haines Falls, Hunter,
and, Coxsackie,
Preston Hollow, Oak Hill,
Ankrum,
Great Barrington,
Hawthorne Valley,
New Baltimore, and
Hudson, New York.
Life is a rock.
Ica,
Copic,
Cairo,
Catskill, Greenport, Claverack, Kinderhook,
Maryville,
Germantown,
Wyndham, Greenville,
Schoharie,
Green County,
Bradford, Ashland,
Chatham,
and East Durham,
Athens,
Haines Falls, Hunter,
and, Coxsackie,
Preston Hollow, Oak Hill,
Ankrum,
Great Barrington,
Hawthorne Valley,
New Baltimore, and
Hudson, New York.
I've been everywhere. I've been everywhere.
Next, we have these reports.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1989. That was the day the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the Environmental Protection Agency raided a Department of Energy facility just outside Denver, Colorado. Rockwell International operated Rocky Flats plutonium processing plant on behalf of the federal government. From 1952 until 1989, workers there made plutonium triggers for nuclear warheads. They reported procedurally unsafe working conditions and rare forms of cancer. Workers also worried about disposal of radioactive material and the potential public health threat the facility posed. Just after 9 a.m., 90 FBI and EPA agents executed Operation Desert Glow, beginning their raid and investigation into potential environmental crimes at the 6,000-plus acre facility. According to Kristen Iverson, author of Full Body Burden, Growing Up in the Shadows of Rocky Flats, evidence collected over the course of 18 days indicated that for more than 30 years, spills, leaks, and waste disposal practices have contaminated dozens of sites around the facility. The most significant public health issue is groundwater pollution, and more than 2,640 pounds of plutonium is missing. The 21-month grand jury investigation revealed that the facility had been burning radioactive and toxic waste in an incinerator for decades, despite regulations requiring its shutdown. It also revealed secret dumping of radioactive waste into officially closed waste ponds. Infuriated jurors wrote their own grand jury report when they learned a plea deal had been cut with millions in fines, but that there would be no indictments. Their report remains sealed. Rocky Flats was eventually declared a Superfund site, and years of cleanup began. In 2001, Congress decided to turn most of the acreage into a wildlife refuge with park trails for hiking and horseback riding.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, heard weekday mornings here at 8 o'clock on WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC is hosting its pledge drive, and we need your support. Help keep hands-on creative community radio alive in your region by calling 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. Or you can pledge online with your tax-deductible pledge at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
Echo,
echo, echo, echo, echo, echo, echo.
I'm Echo Rowe, who hosts Echo System. Echo System is a show on Saturdays from 3:30 to 4, and I talk to my friends and other kids, play music, and we learn about radio.
Echo, 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 echo.
Next, the national headlines from Public News Service.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Wednesday, June the 6th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Emails indicate EPA Chief Scott Pruitt used government staff to try to line up a fast food franchise for his wife. Also on the Wednesday rundown, we look at whether Trump's coal and nuclear bailout plan is a raw deal for consumers. Plus, more evidence we need to get antibiotics out of pork. Topping our news, 3 months after Scott Pruitt took charge at the EPA, the Washington Post reports his scheduler emailed Dan Cathy, chief exec of Chick-fil-A, with an unusual request. Would Cathy meet with Pruitt to discuss a potential business opportunity? The Post reports a call was arranged, then canceled. Pruitt eventually spoke with someone from the company's legal department. The subject of the call was an expression of interest in his wife becoming a Chick-fil-A franchisee. The Post notes that Marilyn Pruitt never did open a restaurant, but the revelation that Pruitt used his official position and EPA staff to try to line up work for his wife appears to open a new chapter in what the Post calls an ongoing saga of his questionable spending and management decisions, which so far have spawned a dozen federal probes. Environmental groups in Ohio say a proposed plan to bail out failing coal and nuclear plants is a raw deal for consumers. Mary Sherman reports the White House is considering an order that would force grid operators to purchase electric power from struggling coal and nuclear plants.
Neil Wagner with Sierra Club in Ohio contends such a bailout will be expensive and is unnecessary. He explains grid operators, industry experts, utilities, and consumer advocates, including the Ohio Public Utilities Commission, have said many times that there is no energy shortage and no reliability concerns if economically challenged plants retire.
This is Trump clearly trying to do anything he can to help his millionaire coal and nuclear executive buddies by trying to demand Americans and Ohioans pay more every month to prop up these uneconomic coal and nuclear plants.
It's estimated that a bailout of failing coal and nuclear plants could cost consumers somewhere between $311 million and nearly $12 billion annually. A draft policy memo from the Department of Energy states the proposal is needed to help safeguard the energy grid amid national security and defense concerns.
Meantime, a coalition of small business owners, industry leaders, and environmental groups say it's time to take a hard look at the real impact of ethanol mixed in gasoline.
In 2005, Congress passed the Renewable Fuel Standard, requiring that 4 billion gallons of ethanol be added to the nation's gasoline. 2 years later, the requirement was raised to 36 billion gallons, and now there's pressure to increase it again. But while part of the original intent may have been to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, Jerry Young, founder of the group Rethink Ethanol, says it takes more fossil fuel energy to make ethanol than it yields.
That every time we consume ethanol in our vehicles,
we're actually consuming twice as much energy as if we were using pure gasoline.
Corn-producing states like Iowa have been strong supporters of the ethanol mandate, but even EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt is now saying too much ethanol is being blended into gasoline. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
And advocates for national security are speaking out. They're urging the Trump administration to block a proposed deal that would give a company owned by the Chinese government the right to run the terminals at the Port of Long Beach. Suzanne Potter has our report.
The Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, known as CFIUS, is currently scrutinizing the deal that would sell the rights to the terminal from a Hong Kong-based company called Orient Overseas International Lines to COSCO, a huge shipping concern owned by the Chinese state. Robert Romano, Vice President of Public Policy for the nonprofit Americans for Limited Government, says it is too risky to allow the second busiest port in the United States to be controlled by a foreign government.
It is up to the committee to ensure that China taking over the Long Beach port will not compromise national security or our economic security. The Trump administration has a responsibility to the American people to put America's interests first.
COSCO has offered to divest in order to save the deal. CFIUS did not immediately respond to requests for comment. Other ports in the United States are operated by private foreign companies. Gulf Tainer, based in the United Arab Emirates, currently runs Port Canaveral in Florida and has signed a contract with the state of Delaware to run the Port of Wilmington.
The Trump administration is currently engaged in extensive trade negotiations with China. And finally, a new report out today says the amount of antibiotics used to keep pigs from getting sick now rivals the amount consumed by humans, without evidence that the pigs are getting healthier. Here's Ross Brown.
The Natural Resources Defense Council report is an in-depth look at antibiotics in the pork industry and the consequences for human and animal health. It says roughly 27% of medically important antibiotics are sold for pork production, compared to 27.6% for treating humans. Senior Health Officer David Wallinga says the widespread practice of feeding antibiotics to pigs that aren't sick in hopes of preventing disease isn't working.
We know that the use of antibiotics, kind of regardless of where that use happens, is what drives bacteria to become resistant to them. And if we're already using about as much on pig farms as we are in human medicine, that's a problem.
Wallinga says diseases such as E. coli infections, pneumonia, and meningitis are more prevalent in pigs today than they were in 2000.
It's estimated more than 2 million Americans suffer antibiotic-resistant infections each year, and at least 23,000 die as a result. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We are member listener supported, and we are online at publicnewsservice.org.
Hi, everybody. This is Dan from the Battlefield Earth Program. Have you donated yet to the radio station WGXC? Well, it's as easy as going to WGXC.org and hitting the donate button. It's like picking a chocolate out of a baby's hair. Please remember, we need you so that you can need us. WGXE.org.
Tune in to Transmission Art in the early morning hours Thursday, June 7th, with creative composition overnight. Radio news at 5 a.m. on Waveform Standing Wave Radio and WGXC.
Coming up on the WGXC 90.7 FM community program schedule for Thursday, June 7th, Pete Kirchhoff kicks off day two of WGXC's Radio Everywhere Pledge Drive, raising $25,000 to keep community radio live and local in Greene and Columbia counties. He'll be joined during the second hour by your host from One Size Fits All. Later on at 2 o'clock on the Art of the Hudson Valley, Chad Weckler will be talking with Hudson-based photographer Giovanni Di Mola. At 3 o'clock on Radio Theater, Donald Drumpf Theater, Volume 73, No More Kings, produced by Tom Rowe. And at 4 o'clock, a special fresh air broadcast of the WGXC Afternoon Show. Ellen Thurston and Tom DiPietro will be out in the courtyard next to WGXC's new Hudson Studio at the First Presbyterian Church at 4th and Warren Streets. They encourage visitors to stop by and say hello during the Radio Everywhere Pledge Drive. Later on in the evening, beginning at 8 o'clock, a performance by singer-songwriter Amy Rigby, live from Hilo in Catskill, featuring songs from her latest album, The Old Guys.
Gonna get some records for my baby.
Mr. Record Man, get this record for me, won't you please?
WTXC Record Fair 2018 is coming back Sunday, September 16th at the Basilica Hudson. Vendors from across the Northeast will gather at Basilica's main hall to sell vinyl, CDs, cassette tapes, DVDs, books, musical equipment and instruments, and radio-related ephemera. If you want to get involved and sell records, CDs, or more at WGXC's Record Fair, email recordfair@wgxc.org or call 518-697-7400. That's recordfair@wgxc.org. You can also make a donation to WGXC of old records, tapes, or other media. Again, email recordfair@wgxc.org or call 518-697-7400 to help with the WGXC Record Fair.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at wgxc.org, including some of these events.
There's a floral design workshop Thursday, June 7th at Drop Forge and Tool in Hudson. Also, the Hudson Area Library has a Know Your Flag workshop to celebrate the 241st year of the American flag. 6 p.m. Hudson Area Library, Thursday, June 7th. Cairo has a planning board meeting at 7 p.m. Thursday, June 7th. Remember, you can take out your phone and record the Cairo planning board meeting or do a live web stream from the Cairo Town Hall, 7 p.m. Thursday, June 7th. Email info@wgxc.org to find out more. Catskill's Amy Rigby performs at High Low in Catskill, a solo set Thursday, June 7th at 8 p.m. There should be a live web stream on the WGXC website, too, for Amy Rigby, Thursday, June 7th, High Low in Catskill. The Chairs are at PS 21 in Chatham on Friday, June 8th. It's the Actors Ensemble presenting a stage reading featuring actors Fern Sloan and Ted Pugh. Their interpretation of Ionescu's absurdist tragic farce, The Chairs. PS 21 in Chatham, 8 p.m. Friday, June 8th. The Half Moon in Hudson has a show Friday, June 8th with Free Range, Miss Boogie, Zasha, Young Wavy Fox. Night of Black Queer Performance from Rap, R&B, and DJs. The Half Moon in Hudson, Friday, June 8th. Also Friday, June 8th, Kyle and the Pity Party, The Tins, and Global Lamp perform at BSP in Kingston. The Wild Weeds are at High Low in Catskill Friday, June 8th. There should be a live web stream of that, too. Iris Dement is at Club Helsinki in Hudson Friday, June 8th. And then Saturday, June 9th, the WGXC Yard Sale, the annual WGXC Yard Sale, is out at the Wave Farm in Accra, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., Saturday, June 9th. Come out, make a donation during the WGXC pledge drive, maybe find some thrift find at the WGXC yard sale, Saturday, June 9th, 5662 Route 23 in Accra. There's also the Northeast Fiddlers Convention, Saturday, June 9th at the Hancock Shaker Village, Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Bill and the Bells with Nils Fredlund host the Northeast Fiddlers Convention, Saturday, June 9th. Al Roker will be at the Chatham Bookstore, Saturday, June 9th from 5 to 7 p.m. Reading from his latest book, Ruthless Tide, The Heroes and Villains of the Johnstown Flood. The Dylan Perello Orchestra performs at the Bridge Street Theater, Saturday, June 9th. 11-piece big band from Albany, New York. At Catskill's Bridge Street Theater, Saturday, June 9th at 7:30 p.m. The Chairs is back at PS 21 in Chatham, Saturday, June 9th. And guitarist Maria Zemontowski performs classical and Spanish and flamenco songs at the Valencia Community Theater, Saturday, June 9th. The Sweet Clementines, Dean Jones, Hockett Ensemble, and Ella Ray perform at BSP in Kingston Saturday, June 9th. And Boss Hogg is at Club Helsinki in Hudson Saturday, June 9th. Heart's Content Ensemble is at the Bridge Street Theater Sunday, June 10th. With Caitlin Oppolit on flute, Jonathan Byron Wooden on cello, Laurie Frankel on oboe, Thomas Conan on violin, Ed Caltry on clarinet and flute, David Wooden on violin and viola. The Heart's Content Ensemble. Sunday, June 10th at 2 p.m. at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill. These